Hello, Shamai, and I have been shockingly awful at keeping this podcast up to date, and I know you will have noticed how long ago I did my last podcast. Many of you will have known by now that I'm on maternity leave. I've given birth to a little baby boy called Idris Abbas Syed, and he's absolutely beautiful. I'm finding no real obligation to keep things up to date, but you know me, I am trying to keep my hand in as to what's happening in the Senedd and trying to ensure that I can help those in my region, especially now with the coronavirus and everything that's happening in relation to that. Of course, my team are working from home and they're supporting the community where they can, but most of my days are consumed with changing nappies, feeding little Idris, going for little walks, and just keeping myself busy in that regard. That's why I've come on here, really, because today is Maternal Mental Health Week, and my team asked me to do a video to say why it was important. And as opposed to doing a video, I'm doing a podcast because my day has been consumed with looking after my baby and not being able to do the whole get ready to do a video look, so I'm not doing that today. That's just not on the agenda, so here I am doing a podcast. You can listen to me instead. I've done a few articles and a few radio interviews since giving birth to Idris, and just talking about the experience really of having a baby during lockdown. I mean, when I found out I was pregnant last year, it just wouldn't have crossed my mind, well, clearly wouldn't have crossed anybody's mind, that this would have been the reality that I'm now living in relation to having to give birth in these circumstances. And I wouldn't change it for the world in relation to having Idris in my life. He's absolutely gorgeous and we absolutely adore him. But it was a very, very difficult experience. And I was lucky enough before this lockdown to do a National Childcare Trust NCT course in Cardiff alongside other would-be parents who are now mostly, apart from one of the group, every one of us have given birth. And we just talked to one another regularly about our challenges and our thoughts and giving each other tips. And I don't know what I would do without it, actually, because at the time when I was going into my 9th month of pregnancy, things were starting to change then. I had just seen my midwife for the last time. Then she was off on leave. I was supposed to have another appointment, but another midwife rang me and had the appointment over the phone. Then I was supposed to go for a sweep because my baby was late. And I didn't hear back about that, but then I had reduced movements one evening and I decided to go into the hospital because I was concerned about that, and they said, well, do you want to have an inducement because you are already 6-7 days late anyway? So I said yes, I would. By that point though, I already knew that at the hospital they had closed the midwifery led unit and we'd all have to be in the consultant led unit because of the coronavirus, and they were only letting partners in for and I quote active labour. So that meant that, you know, for an inducement and for anything after the baby was born, we weren't allowed to have our partners there. So it took a few days for the inducement to work for me, and then I had many, many hours of painful contractions, and then I was taken up to the delivery suite, and I called my husband. Luckily I called him to bring me a hot water bottle because my contractions were so bad. I wanted some relief and I was advised that a hot water bottle would be good, and I didn't have one with me. So he was on his way to the hospital anyway, and so he was already there when I was being brought up. Well, he was already outside when I was being brought up to the delivery suite. I had to have an epidural, which took some time because they couldn't find the correct location in my spine to put the epidural, so that took a while. And then I was then being monitored and to see where I was progressing in relation to my labour. Unfortunately, I had temperature. This was hours later, and they said to me that they advised that it wouldn't be good for me to give birth naturally and then put me through to an emergency C-section. So I was pretty gutted in the sense that I'd been through all of these hours of contractions only to be told that I wasn't able to have a natural labour. And in my head, I wanted that to happen because I had, you know, invested in it in that sense. But I knew that if I myself or my baby was going to get sepsis because of this temperature, because it could lead to an infection, then of course I was going to go for the emergency C-section. And you know, at that point, everybody was very supportive, and everything went smoothly. Actually, it was all a bit of a whirlwind, you know, and it was amazing to hold my son for the very first time. But then I was on the recovery ward, and it was all very hazy. But I know that there was a rush to try and get my husband out because the partners weren't allowed to stay with us. And if you imagine, I've just had an invasive surgery, I've got stitches, I'm in pain, and I've got this newborn baby to deal with in terms of changing and feeding. And then I've got all my bags because I'd been there for about a week by that point. So when he left me, it was just such a daunting experience being on the ward. And they told me they'd move me to a ward relatively suddenly, but they didn't, because I think that there was quite a lot of women coming out of delivery, and you know, we were all needing somewhere to go, and so that didn't help because it just added to my anxiety. Eventually I got onto a ward, and there was other ladies there who had given birth, so for the days that I was there afterwards with Idris, it was really comforting to know that I could speak to them. And one of the other mothers, whose daughter was there with jaundice, helped me on numerous occasions to get things out of my bag and to go and get me more milk to be able to feed Idris. But you know, it was a very traumatic experience in that, you know, I was losing a lot of blood, that I was feeling quite intimidated by the prospect of looking after a newborn when I wasn't feeling very well myself. And then the catering staff would come in and put food on your plate, put food on the plate beside on these trays, but I said to one of the ladies, oh, the tray is too far away, I can't reach it. But they were in too much of a rush and they had to get out of there. And then I was thinking, well, how am I going to eat this food, because it's so far away and I couldn't move, and I couldn't had to keep ringing the bell for the midwives to help. And I said to a few of them, I feel like such a burden because I'm ringing and helping you. And they said, no, that's our role. But I do know that I think that, well, I don't know, I think that they felt a bit intimidated by the fact that things were all changed, because they were saying how odd it was, that there was no visitors, how eerily quiet it was, how they felt it was difficult sometimes to always wear a mask in our presence because they have to, because of the coronavirus. And then, of course, we felt, you know, it was a difficult situation for us because our partners had to leave. And then my partner, of course, you know, is us living together, was on his own in the house and wasn't able to see anybody else to give him sort of reprieve, and he was missing out on those early hours as well. So, you know, that was a really difficult time. And then I went home on the Saturday evening, and you know, we had a discussion about doing a video of us walking down the corridor with our baby in the car seat and leaving the hospital, like you see on Facebook, all these little pictures of families leaving the hospital together. But we couldn't do that because obviously my partner wasn't allowed in, so me and the midwife packed bags and stumbled along corridors, and then we left. We were just by the doors of the hospital, and she said, oh, you have to put the baby in the car seat because I'm not allowed to for safety reasons, and also your husband can't come in anywhere close to me because of social distancing, but if he comes in and leaves the seat and walks back out again, then that's fine. So there was a big strip, like a big cross in tape on the floor, and my husband put the car seat down on that, and then I strapped Idris in, and then I walked out on my own. And it was really late in the night as well, because I was just charged on a Saturday night, and it just made me feel so, and that was when I felt really, you know, proper upset, I think, because it was just the reality of the coronavirus set in. And when I left, I saw a line of cars, all with men in it, waiting to go in and see their partners, you know, either to drop things off or to go and pick up new babies, one after another, being able to enter just the reception area of the hospital. So it's not only been difficult for the women, but also difficult for the men who have sort of been isolated from the initial stages of the baby's birth, but also for us being isolated from the support mechanisms that we so much needed. I was nervous about going into hospital, but once I was there, I felt that it was, you know, pretty much like a bubble, and we were very well supported and it was very clean, and you didn't feel like there was a virus only by the nature of the fact that, you know, nobody was allowed to come and see us, and we saw some masks from time to time, but mostly I didn't feel that we were affected by it on a daily basis. But as soon as we left, you know, and still I feel now it's been very difficult in the sense that we haven't been able to have family over. We haven't been able to share our experiences physically with other people. So my baby hasn't met with people, and I've had nobody to coo him or people to just come and support us in other ways, be it to help us with washing or to help us with food or, you know, anything really. It's all been us doing it alone, and I'm not saying that isn't the correct way, because of course people have to survive the world over, just as couples or even single mothers or single parents. But, you know, I would have expected to have a stronger support mechanism there at the start, and clearly that wasn't there for us. So we've been doing lots of Skype videos and getting people involved in that way. But I think in terms of mental health and the lockdown, I think that's where this week is so important. And I'm not saying that any other type of giving birth outside of the coronavirus crisis isn't important and doesn't provide issues for mothers and fathers alike, but I think this has been such a unique experience. I think, you know, only time will tell how it will really affect some people, I think. There's been times when I've been really, really sorted and I've felt that I can cope with anything and that I've mastered, you know, what it is to be able to do when it comes to feeding or when it comes to all the different challenges of parenthood. And there's other times where I've just sat in a corner and cried and gone, do you know what? I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Can I do this? Can I get through this? And I think that's entirely natural. People talk about the baby blues, or then they talk about postnatal depression. Definitely, I think you get that low point where you think, mostly it's just this overwhelming sense of responsibility, and you feel that, you know, yeah, can you do this? Is this something that you're able to cope with? But then on the good days, it's amazing. Just, you know that you've created this little bundle of joy, and that you've got this person in your life forever that you can love and cherish. But I don't think people talk enough about the experience of giving birth, probably because they think they might put women off forever because it's so difficult, and the after effects of it, and the support mechanisms that parents need. You know, it's not exclusive to the mothers, but I would say that it is different for the mothers, because we've been through that traumatic experience of giving birth. So for men, it will never be the same type of effect that a child will bring, but it doesn't make it any less important. But it's just about how we can find mechanisms to support one another, especially in the times of the lockdown. So I've mentioned the National Child Care Trust WhatsApp group I've got, which has been amazing to support me. Then of course there's a new Welsh language Facebook group, Mam My Babi, which I've joined, and it was only set up actually when I gave birth, so that was brilliant. And they're doing lots of Facebook live sessions with various health professionals or baby yoga and so forth, and I can ask questions and seek support there. And obviously, you know, friends and family are good also. We have been given a health visitor's number that we can call. I've had one long conversation with a health visitor, but I think, you know, and it's nobody's fault, so please, I hope if anybody's listening from the health service, it's not a criticism of any one individual, but I do feel the support is lacking, in the sense that, you know, we can't go to the GP. You know, I had to go and get a form to register my baby and then just post it back in. I couldn't go in and ask questions. Sometimes you feel like phoning somebody isn't entirely what you want. You want to see somebody face to face. I know that there would have been more midwife visits had this not been the coronavirus lockdown, and that would have been invaluable to me because I was, you know, very shaken and very anxious in the first few weeks. One visit probably wasn't good enough, and so, you know, the effect of this on mothers is going to be something we may not know for a good couple of months, if I'm honest. And then I do worry about women who are pregnant now and the situation for them. What will they face? Will there be further limitations, or will things start to ease? We're not sure yet what that will mean. And then we've had issues where, you know, pregnant women haven't been paid sufficiently, or they haven't got the leave that they've wanted, or you've seen pregnant women working in the NHS and so forth who, you know, should really not be working at this time, and they need to be at home. And we've seen awful, awful news stories of some women who have died from coronavirus when they've given birth, and it's been horrific to watch, which made me stop watching the news at all, actually, because, you know, it just made me too depressed when I needed to be trying to focus on the positives in life. So there's lots and lots of challenges and lots of things my team in the office will be helping with. But I think this week is so important, but it's not just this week that's important in terms of maternal mental health. Families and parents and friends will need to be supported ongoing, and it's just not being able to do the little things that I was planning on doing that probably affect my mental health more. So I wanted to go and have a massage, I wanted to get my hair done, I wanted to go to little cafes and walk around the park. I can walk with the baby, yes, but I can't meet people, I can't just go and chill out somewhere. And it may sound like really small things, but those are things that I would have liked to have done, which would have aided my mental health immensely. So yeah, I think, you know, go with what you know, go with the good days, go with the bad days, but always know that there's people there to support you, I'd say. And if you are a woman who's pregnant now, or someone who has given birth, you know, pick up on the support networks. There are virtual groups of parents doing various different things, be they baby sensory, be they baby yoga. Get involved in them, because then you don't feel so isolated, and then you don't feel that you're going to be too long in a bubble. And to finish, I think it's going to be a really interesting story to tell, isn't it? You know, when our babies grow up and tell them the story of the lockdown. So I'm hoping to start a journal. I should have started it by now, but, you know, being a new mother has limitations on my creativity, and so they can see what we've brought them into, and they can have that, you know, amazing, you know, obviously there's lots of negativity in relation to this period of time, but also, you know, the positives of bringing new life into the world, and how they then, we can see them progress. So yeah, one for the grandchildren, I'm sure. But like I said, if you are a new mother or parent out there, even if you feel you want to get in touch with me, I'm no specialist, but at least I have those first few weeks now as experience, and I'm happy to share them honestly and frankly, because I think that's something that may have been a bit lacking in all of this. If we can be honest and frank with each other, then we can all succeed, I'm sure.